Craig Callender is a professor of philosophy at the University of California, San Diego. He is the author of Introducing Time and the editor of the Oxford Handbook of Philosophy of Time. In considering the important question of what is time, what is more fundamental, considering time overall or the different components that make up time?
Well, that's a good question. The question is really, what is time? Mm-hmm. And what bits, but it's a mistake to think of time as one, well, time, whatever it is, if there is such a thing as time, has many properties. Mm-hmm. So it'll have what we call topological properties. So it could be open, it could be closed. You know, so it could have an end, a boundary point, an end point. Might be discrete, you know, chopped up into little chunks or continuous. And crucially, it also has what we call metrical properties. So these are, when it comes to time, we're talking then about duration. So it takes a certain amount of time to go from, your house to the store. Mm-hmm. How long was that? So we put units over these intervals, but the units aren't really, we might say it took an hour or so, or 60 minutes or whatever, but whatever, that, what are those things measuring? That's the measure of time, the metric of time. And so time has a bunch of different features. You could imagine having more or less, so it could also be directed in some way. So there could be an intrinsic distinction between past and future. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that just gets added on later when you look at the stuff in the universe. So there's a lot of different questions that arise about what you think time is. Sure. And
Go ahead, continue.
So the way I approach it is I think of it as, what are the minimum conditions necessary to do science? Mm-hmm. So what do we need of time? So to do science, you don't really need that much. So you need some of these topological features. And you need some kind of measure of time. And that's really it. You don't need a particular direction, and you don't need a lot of the stuff that we attribute to time. Like the idea that the past is settled and the future is open, or the present is special, mm-hmm. or any of these very intuitive common notions. You just don't need them. Okay. And so then the question is, trim out the stuff you don't need, see what that thing is, and then call that thing time.
Where do you think we are currently when we've shaved away at some of these different conceptions of time throughout history, philosophy, and science? Where do we currently stand with our understandings of time? So if most people would know the Einsteinian space-time relativity, which is obviously there's no absolute simultaneous events throughout the universe. There is no special now. It's just all relevant, and the past and the present and the future can kind of coexist throughout this block of space-time. How does this affect how we conceive of time in a metric way in physics, and where do we stand now in terms of the popular ideas behind time from physics?
Well, yeah, I think that Einsteinian picture really blows away our ordinary intuitive sense of time. Mm-hmm. So as you point out, there's no special present. Yeah. So then when you think about the flow of time, normally you think of what's flowing. Well, you're thinking the now, the present is flowing. Mm-hmm. But if there is no now or present, then there's no flow. Mm-hmm. And then it's also surprising then that the past and future, since there is no present, and the present is what cuts up the big block universe into past and present, if there is no past and future. If there is no present, then there's no, absolute cutting up of things into the past and the future. And so the whole idea of a fixed past versus an open future, that goes out the window then as well. And so you're left with just really this idea that, if you imagine the kind of rubber sheet picture of a space-time, which maybe isn't the best model, but imagine a rubber sheet that's bent in various areas, and you can imagine various paths along that sheet. Mm-hmm. Well, then you can think of time as just measuring the lengths of these paths. And so different paths, different lengths. So if you had a kind of ideal clock measuring the lengths of these things, you could think of that as time. And that's all they need, really. So time, a bit. So if you think in terms of what properties I typically thought of as associated with time, you know, 9 out of 10 of them are gone in relativity.
That ties into whether time is real and whether time is an illusion. Now, you've just said how we can think of time in this sheet. So when someone says that the universe is 13.7 or whatever, is 0.8 billion years old, how would you express that in these special conditions that you've mentioned about how time in a everyday and traditional sense is out the window? So when someone says that the universe is 13.7 billion years old, how can we interpret that in a language of mathematical physics?
Yes, that's a good question, because it then seems puzzling. You know, what the heck we mean when we say it's 13.7, 13.8 billion years old. Mm-hmm. You know, why, what are you, what the heck do you mean? You just told me time doesn't exist, you know, barely exists.
Sure.
And so the way to think about that is, I mean, it's only relative to a special group of observers that is the, you know, we assume that there are these sort of special galaxies that are, and relative to those, well, they're not like physically or metaphysically special, but with respect to a bunch of galaxies that appear to be roughly co-moving, we then say, with respect to those, if we follow those paths, then, you know, 13.7 billion years is the answer. But if we had followed other paths, then it's true. Then you know, a different number would pop up. But if we followed the path of a photon, then zero would be the answer. The photon doesn't experience, you know, the length of a photon's path, even one, you know, emitted from the Big Bang, will have, according to this space-time metric, you know, zero length. And so, you know, it depends. So the question, you know, so that if you ask how old is the universe, like, you know, the answer is it depends who you ask.
It's a proposition of relativity. So in terms of expanding galaxies vis-a-vis each other, it's this old. But in terms of a photon, it's zero old.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next talking point, which is kind of another big one in this field, which I've heard you talk about previously as well. So we've got the Einsteinian relativity element of time. How there's obviously a standard problem in terms of general relativity versus quantum mechanics, and one aspect of that is obviously the issues of quantum gravity. But how do these two go about with the conception of time? How is this problematic, and is there any way of resolving this?
So this is really the million-dollar question. You know, so you've got the theory, our best theory, the big relativity, seems to conflict with our best theory, the small quantum mechanics. And these are two of our best theories ever, you know, among all theories ever. And they seem to conflict. There's a real deep need to, you know, make them consistent, because you can point to spots where, you know, for most things you can ignore. For most applications of, you know, relativity, when you think about astrophysics and cosmology, you could ignore quantum mechanics and vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about a quantum experiment, the gravitational field is not going to be it's going to be very weak, and you can ignore it. But as you get really small, you know, you're not going to be able to ignore it so much. Or as you, you know, look at in more detail at the cosmos, you're not going to be able to ignore quantum mechanics. So you need some way of you know, fixing these things up and to getting a third theory that's consistent. And here what's particularly interesting is that the two theories really seem to differ over the nature of time. So relativity gives you that picture, just, you know, measurement of path on a sheet. Quantum mechanics, though, for the most part, uses a regular classical mechanical time, where maybe there's a bunch of differences. One other one is that time is dynamical in relativity. So if I put some planet on my rubber sheet, it, you know, bends the rubber sheet, the mass, the energy affects the, strictly speaking, affects the ticking of the clock. So if you, I mean, you could never measure this, but, you know, where you're, when my dog is walking around the office and decides where to lay down, you know, where he decides to flop down actually will affect the ticking of all the clocks in the universe. Well, by a little bit. But in quantum mechanics, that's definitely not the case about with regard to time. You know, it's completely independent of, it just assumes a complete flat space-time, no curvature, nothing dynamical about time. And so the two theories conflict about time. And so this seems to be, a sign or at least a hint that, you know, thinking about time will help. If you think way back to Einstein, when Einstein was asked how did he come up with relativity, which was so shocking, he said it was by, you know, reconceiving, by thinking about some philosophers and some philosophical questions about time, and by reconceiving his notion of time. And that was what opened the door, he said, for coming up with relativity. And so we're maybe in a position where that thinking about time will again help us open the door. Is one of the, either relativity is right about time, or quantum mechanics is right about time, or neither is right about time. Which is it? And so then you have all these research programs in theories, which are called, they're not really like full blown theories, but more like research programs in quantum gravity. And there's a ton of them really, but they all seek to try to reconcile relativity and quantum mechanics. And they mostly, you could divide them along the lines of, you know, do they like relativity's time, or do they like quantum mechanics' time? So some of them are, you know, sort of trusting relativity on time. Some of them are trusting quantum mechanics on time. And if you go the relativistic route, then people end up, postulating theories which more or less do away with time altogether at the fundamental level. If you go the quantum route, then people have tended not to as much. So in fact, some people have wanted to reassert a kind of classical time.
So on the macro level, where it's relative, there is no fundamental picture of time. We can do away with time completely, but at the quantum level, there's still a lot to be said about reinstating or at least employing time as some fundamental backdrop in the universe that can't be done away with.
Yeah, that's more or less right.
You've mentioned some of these research programs, and obviously the marriage between the small and large, quantum mechanics and general relativity, well established for the majority of the 20th century and so forth. But in your opinion, what do you think is going to be some of the fundamental areas of research in the future?
I'm not sure exactly, but I do tend to think that, two things. I think physicists tend to ignore the measurement problem in quantum mechanics. And this is the kind of Schrodinger's cat. Mm-hmm. Is it alive or dead? Yeah. Problem when they're developing physics. And it wouldn't surprise me if it turns out that resolving that problem turns out to be useful in going forward. You know, so if you think about that problem as really one about what is quantum mechanics really about? You know, is it really about, waves? Is it really about particles? Is it really about many worlds? Is it really about, all these different options? It'd be kind of surprising to me if what the theory was about wasn't actually relevant to how it gets generalized to gravity. It seems like there's sort of big question mark lingering there, and since quantum gravity is so hard to develop, it wouldn't be too surprising to me that if that turned out to be useful. Another thing is that quantum mechanics everyone's worried about reconciling quantum mechanics with general relativity. But really, quantum mechanics, again, this is related to the measurement problem, but most solutions to the measurement problem, or many of them, aren't compatible even with special relativity. So really, you had a problem from way, 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 way back, but it sort of gets shoved under the shoved behind and left behind because there was general relativity. So another thought is that maybe looking at, you know, solutions to the measurement problem that require that conflict with special relativity, that might push you to more in the quantum time direction than in general relativity time direction. Because if you thought, well, it already conflicted with it anyway, I'm just going to go with the quantum.
Yeah, and just say there's ultimate fundamental time that can't be done away with, basically.
Yeah, and that kind of picture, well, that's at least hinted at by that kind of picture.
Change can actually, does actually occur, and whether time doesn't occur or not. So what is some of your work in this area? What's on the horizon for you in terms of philosophy and time, and what are your future research interests going to be?
I've got an interest both in the physics side and in the psychology side of time, and so I'm interested in both. I'm writing a book now where I try to join the two together to some extent. That is, I ask the question, you know, why do critters like us living in this relativistic world where time barely makes sense, if it does, or there's not as much to it as you thought it was, but why nonetheless do all humans, you know, think that the past is different than the future, think that the present is special? Where's this idea of, well, I call it manifest time in my book, and, you know, where does manifest time come from? How did it arise out of scientific time? And so to do that, I've shown that there are some sort of handles in the physical world where time does differ from space, and then to try to show how creatures like us hook onto those, and given the world we live in, sometimes makes sense for a creature like us to have come up with the conception of time that we do, even if it's completely wrong.
So you're saying that there's a strong case, obviously the psychological undercurrents of it are going to be complex, but there's an argument to be said that human cognition projects time out into the world.
To some extent, yeah. So it's more satisfying, I think, than just dismissing it as an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people say, oh, well, the flow of time is an illusion, or the present is an illusion. Well, that illusion is, you know, deeply embedded in the way we live our lives. Really, really, really crucial to, you know, almost everything as we navigate through life. And, you know, to just dismiss it as an illusion without even looking at it or explaining it has always seemed to me unsatisfactory. And so I'm trying to do my best to explain why we come up with this conception of time.
That is actually very interesting. I mean, it's a very complex issue. I mean, I've never met anyone that traveled back to yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.